Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
We're going to look at the Great Commission tonight. We're going to visit it, and we're going to think about it in its total context. We hear it talked about frequently, preached about, taught in Sunday schools and in programs and everything around us on an evangelistic type of a message. And there is that part of it. But there is something much more to the Great Commission. Evangelism is a bedrock of it. But there are some things that come with the Great Commission and with evangelism that are necessary, that work and fuel and feed the evangelistic side of the Great Commission, that we need to be aware of and we need to be conscious of. So beginning with verse 16, let's look at God's Word. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A few points, three points, actually, that I see inside of the Great Commission tonight that I want to bring out to you. First, in verse 16 and part of verse 17, I want you to notice with me, the Lord Jesus is speaking about discipleship, what we call discipleship today in the 21st century. Some things I want you to notice with me. The 11 disciples, Judas Iscariot is not in the picture. He has already betrayed Christ. Christ is already crucified. Judas has already died. He is in his appointed place. He is in hell. And Jesus is now resurrected, and his disciples went away into Galilee. Now, I don't know if you've ever saw that in the Great Commission or not, but if you look on a map, Galilee is about 75 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. He was buried just outside of Jerusalem. He was resurrected in Jerusalem. He met with his disciples in Jerusalem. That's where everything culminated and started from. Now he sends them to Galilee. He asked them to travel 75 miles by foot to Galilee, to a mountain point, to a place where he has appointed to meet with them. Now let's think about the obedience of the disciples and the desire in their heart to follow Jesus. Now when we think about that tonight and we look at the condition of the church tonight as a whole, we have a hard time finding, and I don't mean to be mean, but I'm cruel, but let's just be honest. We have a hard time finding church folks in the community churches all over the place tonight who will drive across town to come to church, let alone ask them to go 75 miles. And goodness knows if you ask them to walk 75 miles to meet with the Lord. If the Lord calls us to do something, sometimes it may require us to put some effort and some emphasis in it. Jesus could have met with them in Jerusalem. Jesus could have done anything and everything he wanted to do with them in Jerusalem, but he asked them to go 75 miles north on top of a mountain to meet with him. A test of their discipleship, a test of their obedience, a test of their submission, a challenge that was given to them to go that far and to travel that over the terrain, through the difficulties, through the dangers, because there's a lot of terrain there. There's a lot of small towns there. There's a lot of robbers, a lot of thieves that are on the road, a lot of dangers that are out there. Our Christian life tonight is no different. There are a lot of dangers that are out there that the Lord is going to ask us to go through in order to meet His calling and His expectations in our life. He is going to call us to do some uncomfortable things. Jesus will call us and ask us to go places and do things that are going to be uncomfortable, that are going to be out of our comfort zone. They're going to be things that we're going to question and we're going to, why, Lord? Why would you want me to go do this, to travel this far? He won't answer that. In most cases, we won't know. But He asks us to be obedient and be submissive to His expectations because He's got something for us. He has got a purpose for asking us to go there. He had a purpose for sending the 11 to go that 75 miles. He had a reason for that. And we will get down and we will see that as we move on into the text. But we need to gain some confidence in the Lord tonight in those things, in those areas as well. Just as He had a purpose for them, and we will see that, we also have to realize He has a purpose for you and I and for everything that He asks us to do. Even though we may not understand it right now, we may not understand it when it's taking place and when it's happening, He has a purpose for it. The discipleship of the church tonight is a discipleship that is still based in following the Word of God, following Jesus, following and being submissive to Him and to His direction, and letting Him have lead and control over our lives, and let His work and His will flow through us. Well, just as we see discipleship in verses 16 and 17 tonight, we will also see in verses 17 and 18 that there is worship. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. When they saw Him. When we come into God's house, we come here to meet with Him. When we come into this house, when we come into this church, when we walk in here and we sit down, we are in His house and we're here to meet with Him. Now, we need to fellowship. We need to love one another. We need to come in with the right heart and with the right attitude and with the right disposition. And if we don't have that, when we're in His presence and the Holy Spirit is moving among us, we need to be humble enough to come to God and repentant enough to come to Him and ask for that so that we can have a full and complete worship experience. Often today, we kind of put ourselves into a box. We want to think of worship as the music part of the service, and then you got the preaching part of the service, and then you got the end of the service. Well, worship and the music is part of it, but that's not all of the worship experience. Worship is being in the presence of God and hearing from Him and having Him move in our lives and give us a direction. Give us holy and godly direction from His Word to our hearts. To our hearts. Because when we are growing and when we are developing as a Christian, when our walk with God is getting closer and closer, our walk with other Christians are getting closer and closer, our desire for discipleship is getting stronger and stronger. That all stems from a foundation of worship. Our discipleship is not going to grow until our worship is where it ought to be with God. Our worship can always find areas of growth. Now notice, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Remember Doubting Thomas? I've mentioned him, I think, maybe Sunday. Thomas loved the Lord. John chapter 20 gives us a marvelous account of Thomas, and he loved the Lord. But think about, let's kind of revisit Thomas just a little bit. for a moment. Thomas and all the disciples were gathered together. The ladies had went out and they had went to the tomb to anoint the body of Christ, but he wasn't there. He had already risen. They spoke with the angel. The angel told them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" They go running back. They tell the disciples that are there, Peter, James, and John, they take off. They get to the tomb. Yes, he's gone. They bring the stories back and they're telling Thomas and all the rest of them, "He's not there. He's not there." And then they talk about seeing Jesus and meeting Jesus, and he is resurrected. He is alive. He is alive. He's not dead. And Thomas says, "Well, if you can meet him, if you can meet Jesus, if you can talk with Jesus, if you can be in his presence, I can too." So Thomas started seeking the Lord. Now there are times in our life when we doubt. Every one of us will find times in our life when we doubt. We shouldn't, but it's not a perfect world. We're not perfect people. We have our faults, we have our failures, we have our shortcomings. Others have theirs, we have our own. And we find there are times in our lives when we will doubt. Just like Thomas doubted. When we get to that point, when things doubt, when we doubt, when circumstances, whatever it may be, maybe frustrations, maybe anger, maybe sin, just flat out sin of commission, sin of omission. Let's just make it simple and bring it all down to those two. We need to look for Jesus. When Thomas doubted, Thomas looked for Jesus. Thomas saw the testimony of the other disciples and they said, "We've seen him, we've seen him, we've seen him." And Thomas says, "All right, if you've seen him, I can see him too." And Thomas started searching for him. When we run into doubt in our lives, let's search for Jesus. Let's look for him. Let's look for him. Let's look for him because of his words. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now we know the story when Thomas met Jesus. Thomas said, "It's you, Lord, it's you, I believe it's you, but I got to see those scars. I've got to see them. I've got to know." And Jesus said, "Here's my hands, here's my feet, and put your hand in my side." And Thomas, in humility, fell at Jesus and worshiped him. Worshiped him in a renewed, revived heart. You see, when we doubt, as God knows we will, and when we seek Jesus, as we should, as disciples of Christ, then when we meet him, and when he comes face to face with us in a very real way, through his word and through the Holy Spirit, that should take us to a humbling experience of being in the presence of Jesus, because all power is given to him in heaven and in earth. He stands before us in our hearts and in our lives as the creation of everything, as the creator of everything. We are his creation. And bless God, it is his power that has made everything around us. It is his power that has called us to salvation. It is his power that has secured our salvation tonight. It is his power that we have the Holy Spirit with us tonight that gives us comfort and guidance and direction. It is through his power that we have his written word that we can that we can fall back on, and we can open and we can find Jesus in it. It is that power. It is that power that overcomes our doubts. That fuels our worship. It fuels our experience of Jesus. And it fuels us to go into the third part of the three, and that's evangelism. When we have a heart of discipleship, and when we have a heart of worship, that heart of worship is being fueled by the power of Jesus. The very next thing Jesus says in verse 19 is go. Go, ye therefore. Therefore is a very important word in that verse. Go, and it is therefore the previous points. He is saying go because of the discipleship. Go because of the worship. You have something to share with those that are outside. You have something to share with those that need it. You have something to share with those who don't know me. Now, over in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, the Great Commission is written in Luke's words, and in verse 47 says, and that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So when we take the Gospels and we put them all together and we're looking at and we're studying this out, the Great Commission out in all the Gospel, Jesus is telling his disciples from Galilee, walk back 75 miles back to Jerusalem and start preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The repentance and the remission of sin started there in Jerusalem. That's where the church began. If we move on over into the book of Acts and we start looking, we see the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost came in Jerusalem. That's where the church was birthed. That's where 3,000 souls were saved that day. That's where Peter preached that magnificent, glorious, beautiful sermon there that began and birthed the church. Go and teach and baptize. And that go is still being applied to disciples tonight. There isn't one of us saved by grace through faith by the blood of Jesus tonight that doesn't have that command to go. Now, does that mean we're all missionaries and we need to go home and pack a suitcase and get ready to go to Africa or to China or to India or somewhere? No. No, that's not. We need to seek where the Lord would have us to be. It may be across town. It may be across the street. It may be in the workplace. It may be in another location somewhere else. But God has got a place. The Lord has a place for us to take His message to. And He has a place, and that place is going to have some difficulties. It's going to have its travels. It's going to have its dangers. It's going to have its mountain to climb, just like the disciples had theirs. But we still have that call to go. To go and to take the message of Christ as it lives inside of us. That's our testimony. What Jesus has done in my life is my testimony. What Jesus has done in your life is your testimony. That is the power and the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. It isn't how many verses of Scripture that you memorize. That's all nice and well and good. I'm not talking that down at all tonight. But too many times, these attitudes of going out and knocking on doors and having Scripture memorized and just rattling it off to people and rattling it off to people, and this whole thing about giving them a religious experience of some kind or another, that's not about Jesus. Jesus says, share me with them. Teach all nations. Teach them. Teach them the remission of sin. Teach them repentance. Teach them. Teach them through your experiences. Teach them through the power and the authority of God as it worked out in your life. Let them see Jesus in us. In us. And in verse 20, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We're not stopping at getting people saved. We're not stopping at getting people in the church door. We go and we take them and we make disciples of them. It's not something that we force on them. It's not something that we ram down their throats. It's not something that we browbeat them into. But it's something that they see as an important part in our life. If church isn't important to the body of Christ, how is it going to be influential to those that are in the world? How is it going to make a difference in their life? How are they going to see? How are they going to see that Jesus is real if it doesn't come through the body of Christ? Observe everything that Jesus has commanded. And then Jesus leaves them with a very, very enthusiastic and a very encouraging and inspiring comment. I am with you, Jesus says. I am with you. When we're on the road to that location, when we're climbing to that mountaintop, when we're doubting, when we're worshiping, when we're learning, when we're growing, Jesus is with us. He loves us that much. We belong to Him. We are blessed. We are truly blessed tonight. He doesn't browbeat, He doesn't force us. But He does give us the Holy Spirit as a guide and as a comforter and as a director, and His Word as an encouragement. We have an opportunity tonight to understand and to spread the gospel, and we know that Jesus is going to be with us even to the end of the world. There's nothing that's going to take Him away. He's not going to leave us. We may fail Him. We may fail one another. We may fail others. We may fail ourselves. But Jesus is going to be with us. Jesus is going to be saying, okay, you have fallen. Let me help you up. Because you need to get back on your feet. Let's get this right and let's get you back on the path. Let's get you back on the road to Galilee. Let's get you back up, going up the mountain where I need to talk with you. Let's get you back to worshiping. Let's get this doubt cleared up. Let's get this discipleship to growing and building. And let's start spreading the good news of Jesus in everything we do. That's the Great Commission. Not what we memorize. Not what we quote. It's who we are. It's who we are. We're the body of Christ. We can share it. We can share it with enthusiasm. We can share it with inspiration. And we can share it with joy of knowing that Jesus has appointed us to this particular task in our lives to carry out His Word at this time. In His plan, in His creation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the time that You have given tonight. I thank You, dear Lord, for each one that has came this way. I thank You for those who are serving in our community tonight as we have a forest fire raging just up the road from us. I pray for their safety. I pray for all of those that are in our bulletin, in our prayer list tonight. You know each need and each opportunity. I pray for our church members, for our church family tonight, for our community, for our state, for our nation. You know the needs that are facing each one of us. And Lord, I pray that I myself tonight would be a better disciple. I pray, Heavenly Father, that I would engage into better worship. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that I would be more obedient to your evangelism. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would grow me and use me as a model, as an example. Help me to come closer to you. Help me to be the leader, to be the pastor that you would have me to be. Dear Lord, I know that if you do, Heavenly Father, I know that others will follow. I know that you would be lifted up and glorified. In everything that's said and done, I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. I pray that his work and his commission would be glorified in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.